Welcome to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. 8:05 Central Time. That means it is time to study the daily New Testament reading. Our guest pastor joining us by phone today, the Reverend James Kronblad, Trinity Lone Oak Lutheran Church in Eagan, Minnesota. Good morning, Pastor Kronblad.
Good morning, Andy.
Thanks so much for being our guest this morning. And tell us about Trinity Lone Oak Lutheran Church in Eagan, Minnesota.
Trinity is a wonderful congregation on the southeast side of the metropolitan area near Minneapolis and St. Paul. We're just a 10-minute drive to the airport here in Minneapolis, and we're about probably even less than that to the Mall of America. So we're pretty right near Minneapolis, St. Paul, right on the south side. And as a congregation, we've got a long history, 134 years with a school, 131 years of those. And so it's a wonderful place. We still have our school, preschool through eighth grade, and the congregation has been dearly loved, frequently known and affectionately known as TLO. So if those letters make any sense, Trinity Lone Oak, meaning TLO. So we love the congregation. The people are wonderful, and God is at work through our ministry in many ways, through our school and other things that we do here.
Very good. Glad that that God has blessed the ministry and that you are there carrying out God's good work, delivering His good gifts in Eagan, Minnesota. We are studying Mark chapter 6 today, verses 14 through 34. Anything you'd like us to know about the text before we dig into Mark chapter 6 today?
Well, this text is the recording by Mark of the death of John the Baptist. And that's, I think, pretty near to our hearts these days with the Christian persecution going around in the world. But I think there's a who's who list in here that can be quite confusing, and that has a lot to do with why John was in prison. But I would say part of it is a need to know who the people are, and we can start with that, I think. First, there's Herod the Great. Herod the Great was, he had a number of different wives, and then, of course, children from those wives. And one of his sons was Herod Antipas, who was the one who is the Herod spoken of in today's text. And so he's the son of Herod the Great. Herod Antipas is the son of Herod the Great. And also, Herod had married Herodias, and Herodias was a daughter of king of the Hasmonean line, who were all killed by Herod the Great. And so Herod the Great gave Herodias to Herod Antipas, so that Herod could be heir to the Hasmonean line. So it's kind of a confusing little mix here. But to say this, though, that when Herod took Herodias as his wife, he had really committed adultery, because Herodias was already married to someone else. And so there was adultery in there. So that's an important thing to understand. Just a lot of the mix of relationships, which included adultery between Herod Antipas and Herodias, which is what John the Baptist was preaching against. And then I think, too, it's important to understand Herodias' daughter was Salome. And Salome was the daughter of Herodias and then a different Herod. And so it's quite a mix of incest and also adultery that John the Baptist was preaching against. So that's where the response of Herodias and Herod to John's preaching is important to understand in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would only say one more thing as we get into this a little bit, in that the context prior to the text that we're looking at was when the disciples, Jesus had sent his disciples out to proclaim the gospel that the kingdom of God is at hand, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and he sent them out to do miracles. He gave them authority to do miracles, and so they healed people with diseases and cast out demons. And so this is the first of Jesus' ministry really spreading in Herod's territory. So then the Herod gets to know the name of Jesus at on account of the disciples' preaching as it spread across a larger territory. And this was all after he had John the Baptist killed. So when he hears the name of Jesus, he begins to remember, he remembers John the Baptist at that point. So it's understanding that the name of Jesus is beginning to spread, and this is after the death of John the Baptist.
Very good, very good. Let's take a look at the text, Mark chapter 6 today, verses 14 through 34. Let's look at the first five or six verses here. King Herod heard of it, for Jesus' name had become known. Some said John the Baptist had been raised from the dead. That is why these miraculous powers are at work in him. But others said he is Elijah, and others said he is a prophet, like one of the prophets of old. But when Herod heard of it, he said, John, whom I beheaded, has been raised. For it was Herod who had sent and seized John and bound him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because he had married her. For John had been saying to Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. And Herodias had a grudge against him and wanted to put him to death. But she could not, for Herod feared John. Knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, he kept him safe. When he heard him, he was greatly perplexed, and he heard him gladly. So, back to verse 14, King Herod heard of it, for Jesus' name had become known. King Herod knew who Jesus was.
No, not yet. He was just hearing the name, actually. Mm-hmm. And so he wasn't sure who he was. And then he was likely inquiring from others, who is this Jesus? And there were some options that he was given. I think we have those in front of us here. Some said John the Baptist, and that he had been raised from the dead, and that's why miraculous powers are at work in him in verse 14. Others said he's Elijah, others still a prophet, one of the prophets of old. So he really didn't know. And of course the one sad thing is he did not even, in the text here, it doesn't even mention that Jesus was known as the Messiah at this point. So he really didn't know, but he stuck in his own mind that, he held it in his own mind that this had to be John the Baptist raised from the dead. I think there's a couple of reasons for that. I think it was that the power of Jesus' name and the holiness of Jesus' name, when it becomes known, calls forth a reaction, a response, and he responded to it really with remembering John the Baptist's death. So his conscience was brought to mind here, and so he was having to face that he had killed John the Baptist. And so he had to deal with that in his spirit. And so, but Jesus himself, he didn't know him as the Messiah. He just was beginning to get to know his name, and so he was pretty confused about it, who this Jesus was. But he thought he was John the Baptist raised from the dead. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was going to go on to verse 16. But when Herod heard of it, he said, "John, whom I beheaded, has been raised." But others said he is Elijah. Others said he's a prophet, like one of the prophets of old. But when Herod heard of it, he said, "John, whom I beheaded, has been raised." For it was Herod who had sent and seized John and bound him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because he had married her. for John had been saying to Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. So where does John come into this picture? When Herod heard of it, he said, John, whom I beheaded, has been raised.
Yeah, John, of course, was the voice crying in the wilderness, make straight paths for him. And it was John's role to be the prophet who would prepare the way for the Lord. He was a man who was sent by God that he would point to the one who is the Christ. And so John did preach, and many people came out to him. And Herod had heard about his preaching as well. And he was interested in his preaching, but John's preaching was mainly for the purpose of ushering in the new kingdom, and not being able to go and see Jesus' ministry, but to be at the beginning and to make the way for Jesus' ministry, to prepare the people for him and to point to him as the Messiah and even to baptize him. So that was his role in preparing the way for the Christ and to point to Jesus as the Messiah. So his ministry had already finished now, and when Jesus was becoming known to Herod and to the people, Herod immediately thought he was John the Baptist raised from the dead, and I think that was because he had been cut to the heart here, that he still was bothered in his conscience that he had killed John the Baptist. And so he had really committed murder against John, and it was still bothering him. And so he was thinking that now, no doubt out of fear, that this holy man, this righteous man, this Nazarene who really was dedicated to living a life of holiness and was known as a prophet that way, he was responding to that in his spirit, and he was afraid. And now wondering, what's going to happen with this Jesus? Is it John raised from the dead? Then he went into further memory of that experience that he had with killing John the Baptist. Yeah. And I think it was a painful thing for him still. But John's ministry was fully to serve the Lord Christ and to point to him. Where even John, in this sense, understood that John needed to decrease while the Lord would increase. So John realized that his ministry was for the purpose of pointing to Christ. And so all of the life of self-denial and being trained in self-control and living in a righteous, holy life for himself, dedicated he was a Nazarite, so he wasn't to drink any wine. He was to remain separate from the people. He really trained himself for the point of being used by the Lord in this way to show that this one, he's not the light. The true light's coming into the world, but the people truly listen to him as a prophet because of what his life had been throughout his life.
Anything
and Herod too understood mm-hmm. that.
Anything right. else up through verse 20 before we go on to the next section, Pastor?
Let's see. You know, we maybe don't need to. Just we already went into the adultery thing and a little bit, I think, in the right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think we're good from this point.
Okay, let's take a look at verses 21 and following. But an opportunity came when Herod on his birthday gave a banquet for his nobles and military commanders and the leading men of Galilee. For when Herodias' daughter came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his guests. And the king said to the girl, "Ask me for whatever you wish, and I will give it to you." And he vowed to her, "Whatever you ask me, I will give you, up to half of my kingdom." And she went out and said to her mother, "For what should I ask?" And she said, "The head of John the Baptist." And she came in immediately with haste to the king and asked, saying, "I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter." And the king was exceedingly sorry, but because of his oaths and his guests, he did not want to break his word to her. And immediately the king sent an executioner with orders to bring John's head. He went and beheaded him in the prison and brought his head on a platter and gave it to the girl. And the girl gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard of it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. This rivals some pretty gory films in Hollywood.
Yes, it does. And it's a terrible loss of life and the taking of life, mm-hmm. all because of trying to silence God's prophet and to silence the word of God. Christians have often been under persecution in various places in the world. Even today, they're under persecution, and their lives are in danger. When I look at what happened here, I see that Herodias had truly planned this whole murder in her own mind, and brought her own daughter into the hatred of John. So she passed down her sin, as we do. We pass down our sin. It's inherited by our parents and through our parents. But Herodias truly had an influence on Salome in bringing her hatred to her daughter and then having her be an accomplice in the death of John the Baptist. And it's such a sad story because it all uses even entraps or Herod into committing this murder because he didn't want to. He wanted to keep John safe. He enjoyed his preaching. He knew Herodias was totally angry toward John, and as one of his subjects and as a prophet, a holy man of God, Herod really wanted to protect him, which in many ways, he was a good tetrarch, but he was certainly not one that honored God and heard the word of God gladly, but he would listen, and he didn't want to harm John, but there were other things at play here that were more important to him. He had placed idols in his life, among them his own self-sufficiency, that he didn't need any other God, that he was in control of his life, and he wasn't even following God's will and God's way. He had said he's a king, but he's really not a king. He's a tetrarch. He just lied. He used murder to establish himself. He was an adulteress. He simply lived a very openly sinful life. Hmm. Well, yeah, and it was hard. It was hard for him to sort out Herodias' bitterness and keep John safe. Mm-hmm. He tried, but then the sin in himself, and because he had entrapped himself in his own sin, he was trapped. And then he didn't ask for forgiveness. He didn't say, "Enough of this. I'm not going to kill John." He had placed a false oath in front of the people and in front of her. He had promised Salome that he would give her up to half of his kingdom. Well, he doesn't have a kingdom because he's a tetrarch, so he had no authority to do that, first of all. And then, secondly, he made this boast that was out of his own, bravado. So he was saying, I'm king and I'm in charge and I can give to you anything you want up to half my kingdom," and that's way beyond where he should have gone.
We need to take a quick break. When we come back from that break, we'll continue our study of the daily New Testament reading. We are in Mark chapter 6 today, verses 14 through 34. We're studying with Pastor James Kroonblad from Trinity Lone Oak Lutheran Church in Eagan, Minnesota. Stick around for more His Time right after this break, right here on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Hey, Pastor Craig D'Onofrio here. I want to thank you, my Drive Time friends, for all of the wonderful things that you've been saying about Reformation Rush Hour. It's a pleasure to spend your evening commute with you. If you haven't been listening, you've been missing some fantastic topics, guests, and lighthearted fun. So please be one of my Drive Time friends. Monday through Friday, 5 to 6 p.m. Central on Worldwide KFUO, 850 a.m. in St. Louis, KFUO.org worldwide.
Worldwide KFUO is easy to find on AM 850 in St. Louis and online at KFUO.org. Through our contacts page online, you can ask us questions, and there is good old snail mail, too. Our street address is KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. The worldwide leader of confessional Lutheranism. Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news for more than 90 years.
Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. We are studying the daily New Testament reading today with Pastor James Kroonblad from Trinity Lone Oak Lutheran Church in Eagan, Minnesota. We are in Mark chapter 6 today, verses 14 through 34, looking at verses 29 right now. Pastor, anything else about this section before we go on to the next section that we haven't covered yet?
Well, I think it's important to compare the people here that I like to think about in terms of what was in the heart of Herod or then Herodias and Salome, and then with John the Baptist and what the memory that was being called up in Herod here regarding John the Baptist, and then of course Christ himself, whose name was becoming known. I think that first verse brings us a real peace and a real knowledge of the presence of God, that Jesus Christ is the Word made flesh, and that he was beginning to become known. So the name of Jesus was becoming known. And we know that the name of Christ, at the name of Christ, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And so we know that Jesus' name is holy, it is righteous, and his name is glorified. And so to whoever fears his name, whoever recognizes him and receives the blessings that he has to give, righteousness and healing comes through him and him alone. Herod and Herodias and Salome really didn't take the time. They didn't seek the will of God and the Word of God to know who is this Jesus. They just relied on their own opinion. Mm-hmm. They stayed in their own heart and just said, this is where they're going to believe. This is what they're going to believe. They're not going to search the scriptures. And if we would let the Spirit work and let the Holy Spirit, as he has given utterance in the scriptures, to teach us the truth, we would learn the truth. God's word is truth. And so the Old Testament clearly pointed to the Christ and John the Baptist, who was between the two testaments in a way. He was the final prophet, but he was the one who was right at the beginning of the new covenant when the Christ had come. And so as a prophet, he bursts out from his heart who this Jesus is. And we are called to believe in the name of Christ as well, to have repentance and faith in the gospel. And I think that I looked at Herod and just his real struggle and his perplexity over John the Baptist, that he didn't want to put him to death, but he really wondered how to handle this, but he didn't investigate it enough to look to who is Jesus. Even after his murder of John the Baptist, he still didn't look to figure out who is this Jesus. If he would have only listened to the name, he would have heard that Jesus' name means Savior. So, you know, even that itself might point him to the truth. But he refused. At every opportunity, he refused. And later, Herod is the one who also, a few years later, at the end of Jesus' ministry, he had Jesus standing right before him as an opportunity that Pilate had sent him to Herod, because Jesus was under Herod's jurisdiction. And so here's Jesus standing right in front of him. And here again, he missed the opportunity to hear the name of Christ and to know who he was and to learn who he was. Jesus simply stood silent before him. What can you say to the person who will do nothing, whom God had placed in such a position, but he will not do anything to seek the truth and to hear God's word and to learn and to repent and believe in the promises of God and to look for the Messiah, like Simeon and Anna when they were waiting in the temple to see the Messiah? So Herod's sin was so open, but it was so much coming out of a heart that was totally opposed to God and in total rebellion. Herodias had that same hardness of heart. Salome had the same hardness of heart. And so we need to, you know, this is Lent, and this is certainly a time of consideration of repentance for ourselves as we consider our own sin. And do we have a hardened heart, or do we sin openly? Do we are we at the level of the world around us? Have we accommodated ourselves to the world, or are we separate from the world like John the Baptist? And have we separated ourselves from the things of the world? If we're honest with ourselves, I'm sure we're in need to examine ourselves and then humbly come before the Lord in confession of sin, and then trust in faith in the promises of Jesus and the name that he gives. I mean, he has placed his name on us in the waters of baptism and cleansed us from all unrighteousness. Unfortunately for Herod, at least in the text, everything in the scripture teaches us that he didn't come to that point. And so we pray for us and for our families and for our neighbors that we would trust in the righteousness that God provides in Christ, because we are not holy in ourselves. And then even as John, I want to go in one other direction, if that's all right with you, with John the Baptist.
Sure.
Would that be okay?
Sure.
Well, I thought about John the Baptist and how he stood before kings and all those in authority, and he spoke of Christ. He pointed to Jesus to all walks of life, but he also held to the truth of holding people accountable. But he did so in such a way that was both clear, powerful, because it was out of the spirit of Elijah. He had that same spirit of Elijah of just a strength and a zeal and filled with the spirit that was known to be truth. And so he spoke before Herod and Herodias and did not consider even that his life would, I mean, he was willing to give up his life for his message, the message that God had given him to speak. And we too are called to speak before all people. Pray for those who are kings and all those in authority, but also to speak the truth in love and to do so with all courage and boldness. So we need to be truly, in our own heart, ready to make an answer, to give an answer to the hope that we have within us, and certainly confess where we've gone astray, and do so in humility, but do so with all boldness and confidence in God's word, speaking God's word as he has called us to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's take a look at verses 30 through 34. Let me read that text for us, and we'll talk about it a little bit more. The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while. For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things." So the apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place, a quiet place, and rest a while." Pastor, your thoughts here?
Mm-hmm. Sorry?
Your thoughts here.
Oh, yes. You know, I think that when Jesus was doing his ministry, it was wearying for them. And he was truly providing for them guidance and direction to prepare them for their own ministry in the future. And when they were out proclaiming the gospel, they were being followed by many different people, and yet they needed time for themselves to be refreshed and rest and receive the blessings that God provided in through Jesus himself. And so he was inviting them to be refreshed. He knew that their ministry would be demanding, and that the word that he was giving them to share was going to be desired by many people. They're going to be following him, and he invited them then to receive his rest. And I can only think that when he was doing that, he was pouring his spirit out to them and refreshing them and encouraging them, listening to them and their stories about what they had taught and the miracles that had been done. You know, in the last section too, John the Baptist really, he didn't do any miracles. And so it was kind of a surprise for Herod even to think that it was John the Baptist raised from the dead, because he didn't do miracles. But here now the disciples were starting to do those things. And so Jesus' ministry was happening through them. And so the word that they were speaking, which is Christ's word, had authority, and it had authority to heal the sick and cast out demons. And so the people were beginning to press and follow, and Jesus knew they needed some rest. They needed to be encouraged and refreshed, and then begin to understand what the kingdom was all about. And it's during those quiet times that they've been restored, and that they themselves understood that God had a purpose and a plan for them, and he was calling them to do ministry. He was instilling in their spirit a real trust in himself as their Messiah and as their Lord.
And here they try to go away to a quiet place, and many saw them going and recognized them, and they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When they went ashore, he saw a great crowd, but he didn't reject them. He had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. So they tried to go away to a quiet place, but people followed him.
Yes, this gives us the heart of Jesus, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And that he is compassionate, slow to anger. He abounds in steadfast love. This compassion goes right down to the inner parts of Jesus. And so as a shepherd, I mean, he wouldn't send anybody away. He would receive them and bring blessing to them. He is their shepherd. He is our good shepherd. And he won't turn us away. He loves us deeply, and he wouldn't turn away from us at the cross either. He stayed there for us and for our salvation, and he wasn't gonna leave them here. He served their needs, and he loved them as a shepherd loves his sheep and cares for them.
Looking over the text as a whole today, Pastor, anything else you'd like for us to learn from this text in Mark chapter 6?
I think this is just an absolute wonderful text where we can learn how the word of Jesus, the name of Jesus, began to spread immediately when his ministry began with his disciples. And the people were responding, and they were coming to Jesus and coming to the disciples, and they were having their needs met in Christ. Jesus is our Messiah, and he is the one who has come to take away the sins of the world. As John the Baptist pointed to him, that he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And it doesn't matter what we've done in the past. I mean, you look at we're sinful to the core, but we need to know that Christ came to save sinners, that he came for us. And like John the Baptist, who was a prophet of God, sent by God, he had a purpose, and God used him for that purpose. Like the disciples themselves, Jesus was preparing them for their ministry, and he was already using them in ministry even as he was teaching them. And he was bringing a message of compassion. And that is what God has given to us as well. The mission of Jesus was to bring the love and the compassion of God, the Father, the Son, the Spirit, to this earth to bring about our salvation. And God's not going to turn us away. We can turn to him in repentance and faith and believe in the gospel. Everything in Christ, everything that we have that is good comes through Christ. And he desires that we would come to him for rest and for forgiveness and for the hope of eternal life, which we have in Christ.
Amen. We've been studying the Daily New Testament Reading today with Pastor James Kronblad from Trinity Lone Oak Lutheran Church in Eagan, Minnesota. Pastor Kronblad, thanks so much for being our guest today and helping us study this text in Mark chapter 6.
Thanks for the opportunity, Andy.
Thank you. God bless you and all the saints at Trinity Lone Oak Lutheran Church in Eagan, Minnesota. Coming up in just a little bit, we've got more His Time. Stick around for more right after this break, right here on listener-supported worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.